Welcome back from recess. It's 12:19, and we are on our Open Public Meetings Act training. We'll turn the time over to our attorney, Kent Snyder, to walk us through that.
Okay, just give me 1 second. Let me save this. Can you see that?
Nope. Not yet. It's just you. We see you.
Well, that's really all that's important. But let's try to do this instead. You can see that.
Yep.
Okay.
Is that big enough for you guys, or do I need to try and get IT to make it bigger?
I can see. I can read it.
You can read it, okay? Randy, can you read that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, we're just going to go through a few slides here in just a moment. And then we're going to have an 11-question test. See everything y'all know. Some of these slides were from a couple of years ago, which is why it says February 2024. Last year, we just used the one from the state, so we didn't. I know that Terry had asked, can we use the one from the state? So I don't. Can you hear that?
Okay.
So basically, what constitutes a meeting? In Utah, for a public meeting, we have to have a public body. That would be you all. Quorum, which would be at least two of you. So executive sessions, workshops, having lunch together, just about any time you've got two or more public officials, so that could be county commissioners, or it could be anybody on the P&Z board, or even the road department. If you're discussing or receiving comments from the public about an issue that we have jurisdiction or authority over, that would be a public meeting. So one of the questions that's going to pop up is, other than traditional meetings, what about site visits? Or Jack, you talked about going down the river with a bunch of public officials. If we have two or more of you together and you discuss anything we have jurisdiction over with the idea that we are discussing or making decisions, then that would be a public meeting. Any questions about that?
Of course, but let's finish.
Okay. All right, so when is the meeting? The meeting, by the way, I spent a lot of time to make you guys look this handsome. So the three of you meet over at Browning's for lunch. Is that a public meeting?
No.
Anytime an attorney asks a question, the answer is always maybe. Could be. Maybe. If you're discussing local business, then that could be a public meeting. But as long as, I mean, the big tricky part of it is, as long as you're not making decisions or receiving comment from the public, it's not a public meeting. So you can talk about things, you can discuss certain things, but don't make final decisions.
And don't spend money.
And if you do spend money, spend your own.
Right.
So a Saturday retreat to talk about what are we going to do for the PRCA coming up next year. That technically could be a public meeting. You meet over at the school because during the holiday we're having the Christmas party over at the school. Probably not. Well, definitely not, unless you start receiving public comment that there's more than two of you together. Quorum, we already know. Basically, when we've only got three officials, then two or more of you constitute a quorum. And the biggest one that gets people in trouble, and we've seen a lot of litigation of this, is if you are in a meeting and you're texting back and forth. So if you're sending things or an email back and forth with each other during a meeting, then technically that it needs to be open. It can't be between texts. But if you take a recess and you text somebody, you know, for example, you text the sheriff and say, hey, can we get some comment on this? And then we come back and open up the meeting. As long as we reference the text or bringing the sheriff into the meeting, you're perfectly fine. It's okay to forward pertinent information to one another. You can text the county commission disclosing new COVID data or a new ordinance, but if you disseminate that and then make sense or make decisions regarding it, then technically then we could be going beyond the scope of what Lorinda put out as far as a notice. So if we notice something up on a public meeting agenda, and then we bring in additional information, we need to put it on the record and add that so that Lorinda can add it in as far as the final notes, especially if if we've used that to make decisions.
I have a question.
Sure.
If we're invited, it's not our meeting, but we're invited as a group, and we show up to the meeting to either be presented to or gain information individually or holistically, either way you want to look at it, as long as we're not decision-making or anything else, how does that play?
I think you're perfectly fine. So don't make a final decision. Don't turn around and commit the county on behalf of anything. And then take whatever information that was provided during that meeting and include it in the public meeting
record, or
discuss and make a decision, you're fine.
So that it ends up in the record.
And the most important part of it, Jack, is it in the record and is the public able to make comment?
Okay.
That's the importance.
Thank you.
How about emergency meetings? Because we do have them occasionally. I noticed we didn't when we were having flooding issues. Big question is, do I need to do public notice for an emergency meeting? Anybody want to answer that? I know Matt knows the answer to that.
Give as much notice as you can.
Right. But you do, if it's going to be a public meeting and you're going to be making a decision regarding something, there needs to be 24-hour notice. Now, there are certain times when there are, for example, we've got to close down the park or we've got to implement emergency fireworks restrictions. We really should at least give 24 hours public notice. But sometimes fireworks is a good example. You probably should. But if there's an active fire going on, probably not.
Is that one of those situations where even if you have to meet and weren't able to have notice because of the exigency, well-defined exigency, then you ratify whatever occurred in the next meeting as a notice and record?
Right. And you've got to be able, this is for Lorinda, you've got to be able to articulate exactly what those unforeseeable circumstances were.
Right.
So the fireworks is probably the best example I can think of lately. You should go ahead and notice closed meetings in advance, but we don't have to. We know that because you can go into a closed meeting from an open meeting. Does anyone know what we have to have before we can do that?
Notice.
Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry, the open meeting needs notice, right?
Right. Right.
And then the and roll then, call vote.
Yeah.
And then the majority of the quorum needs to vote.
And it has to be specific within the bounds of the law relating to it.
Correct. Now we're going to talk about that when we get to our little test right here. So, yes, you can go into a closed meeting from an open meeting, just like Matt said, if you have already noticed up the public meeting. And if the there's an open vote and two out of the three of you decide that, yes, we should go into a closed meeting, well, that would apply for PNZ or anything else. As long as the majority of the quorum votes to go into a closed meeting for a specific statutory reason, you're okay. Quorum must be present. Motion to close the meeting must be made, naming the specific statutory reason. A roll call vote, just like Jack said, and two-thirds of the body must approve the closed meeting. And we need to do the appropriate record keeping. You folks are really good with this. I don't think we have any problems with it. I have seen some examples of some closed meetings where some town officials have gotten upset with the public comments. I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing here. Gotten upset with public comments, so they closed the meeting. You can't do that. Okay, do you all have your test out in front of you?
No, hold on a sec. We can't close a meeting.
End a meeting. Or go into closed. What's the difference?
You can go into a closed meeting from an open meeting.
Yes.
But it has to be what we just talked about. There would have to be a motion. There would have to be an actual vote. There would have to be two-thirds majority of the quorum.
I don't think I articulated my question very well. If they're
as it relates to the town example, is that where you were headed?
Not that specifically, but I have seen other commissions, or at least heard of other commissions, closing meetings because they got disruptive and they just closed the meeting. So we can just close a meeting because it's...
But you can't make it, you can't have a closed session. You can't make a regular meeting a closed session meeting just to kick everybody out and still do your business.
Okay, I misunderstood. Right. I understand. Right. I know that.
Yeah.
For peace purposes or public safety, you can certainly say, or like you've done before, you just say, you have an open period for public comment, and once we've gone beyond that, you can just turn around and say, thank you. We're going to now... You know, the period of time for public comment has now expired, and we just need to move on with our meetings. You can't have somebody or a group of people or a few individuals commandeering the meeting and taking over. You can't. You can go ahead and say, no, we are now closing this portion of the public meeting for any further public comment.
Well, or even the meeting in general. Can't we just close the meeting?
Sure, you can just say,
we're done.
We're going to close
the
meeting. We'll just schedule it back up on another date and time. You're fine.
Okay. But not for the purpose of excluding the public from the process.
Right. I've seen some public examples of town meetings, town hall meetings, where one of the individuals, usually the mayor or someone who's in charge of the meeting, just say, We're just going to close this meeting. You guys are going to have to. It's a closed meeting, and we're going to shut it down. And
okay,
you can't just shut it down because you're unhappy with what somebody's saying.
I should have said like you. And yeah, there's a difference. Meeting. There's a distinction between a closed meeting and adjourning a meeting.
Correct.
Yes, that's
you can adjourn the meeting.
Okay.
Okay. You all ready for your test?
Yes.
I emailed it. Did you get a chance to take a look at it?
No.
Okay. That's all right. True or false? The Utah Open Meetings Act is contained in Title 50 of the Utah State Code. True or false?
Title 52.
52, you're correct. That's false. It's in Title 52. I only do that so that you can remember where to go if you have any questions. What are the four required conditions for an open public meeting? We have location. You have to provide a location. You have to provide an agenda. You have to have record keeping. What's the other thing? Do you remember?
Recording.
We got to report record keeping, so a recording. You have to have a published agenda. You have to have a location. What else do you have to have?
Quorum.
Okay. How about notice?
Oh, yeah.
Notice. True or false? Notice is not required for emergency closed public meetings.
False.
That is correct. It is false.
Look at you go,
Gap. Yes, depending on how much time we can, but 24 hours is the minimum amount of time, unless there is some very exigent circumstances. Okay, proper notice of a public meeting, Lorinda, this is your question. What do you have to have? There are five things.
See, he leaves us with true and false. He gives you five fill in the blanks.
I'll give you the first couple.
She's smart.
Date and time,
the place.
Okay.
An agenda.
Okay. And the one that usually gets people in trouble.
Notice.
What does the agenda have to contain?
Well, it's in quotes, so...
Oh, you're looking at the test.
I am looking at the test.
What do I have to list on that agenda?
Date,
time.
What
was that? Place.
Would it be the policy and legislation?
Date, time,
and
place.
How about reasonable specificity? You have to state on the agenda with reasonable specificity, and that's actually right out of the code, what it's going to be. So you can't just turn around and say, we're going to discuss old business, or we're going to discuss planning and zoning. It has to list with reasonable specificity what it is we're going to be discussing and considering.
That's why we're so precise on what we put on the agenda.
That's the reason why you always call me and go, hey, how are we supposed to do
this? How do I word this?
How do I word this? So, yeah, it's required reasonable specificity. A meeting that is open to the public includes a workshop or an executive session of a public body in which a quorum is present, unless it's properly closed in accordance with the Utah Open Meeting Act. True or false?
True.
True. Very good. The Utah Open Meetings Act requires that proper notice must be at least 24 hours in advance, be posted in at least two prescribed places, include an agenda, or all of the above.
All of the above.
All of the above. Okay, the following are proper reasons for a closed meeting. We're almost done, guys. So tell me whether or not it's proper or improper. A discussion of the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual.
True.
Is that proper?
True.
Discuss pending or reasonable imminent litigation.
True.
True. Discuss the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property. I've heard that line before.
True.
True. Maybe, actually. The answer to that is maybe. We'll talk about that in a second. Discuss water rights or water shares.
True.
True. Exactly. Discuss a proposed development agreement, project proposal, or financing proposal related to the RDA or the county-owned property.
True.
True. Discuss the sale of real property, including any form of water rights or water shares.
True.
True. Exactly. Now, following up with that, before you can close a meeting to discuss a proposed development agreement or for the sale of real property, the county must find that public discussion would disclose the appraisal or estimated value of the property and prevent the county from competing or completing the transaction on the best possible terms. True or false?
True.
True.
True. Yes, we should be stating not only is it for the sale, purchase, exchange, or lease of real property, but we should be putting in there that the discussion would disclose the appraised or estimated value of the property or prevent the county from completing the transaction on the best possible terms. That's what's required under the statute. If the county or RDA holds a closed meeting for the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property, the county slash RDA must give prior public notice that the property is offered for sale and the terms of the sale are publicly disclosed before the public body approves the sale. True or false?
True.
True, exactly. The Utah Open Meetings, this is true or false. The Utah Open Meetings Act requires that the county publish an annual meeting schedule for all regularly scheduled meetings. True or false?
True.
And Lorinda does that. Last question. Which of the following are proper, quote, reasonable specificity? There's the word you needed, Lorinda. Which of the following are proper reasonable specificity for an agenda? Number A, review old business.
No.
Discuss constituents' concerns.
Yes.
No.
No. No. Say, read that. Tell me that
not
again.
Not as an agenda item over.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now we could turn around and say discuss constituents' concerns over proposed ordinance change and
right.
put in the ordinance.
Right.
Or discuss concerns about changes in use of the pickleball court. Okay, you can do that as long as it has you specify what we're talking about. Review and possible discussion of a proposed sports court for the public park.
Yes.
Yes. How about if you just include a hyperlink in the agenda so that the public can find staff reports, web pages, or other material even that is relevant to the agenda item. So
yes.
You just say to discuss this, and here's the hyperlink. Can we do that?
Yes.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. Look, you guys got them all right. And most importantly, we're done with training for this year.
Please put asterisks on every part of this and hyperlink it or do whatever you got to do so that Terry can find it easy when the auditors can find it easy.
I can make a little note or something that says that. I know we discussed this last year, but we just did the training that was online through UAC or USIP. So I don't have the exact date for last year. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you, Ken.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for your patience.
That might be my last one.
Okay, is there anything else that we need to discuss today before we adjourn?
We have a request from Brooks. In regards, Doug Brooks, in regards to wanting to be seen by the Board of Adjustments. Can I do that in 2 weeks after?
The Board of Adjustments meeting?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
That works for me at least. Does that work for you guys as a separate meeting?
In 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks. It has to have a 10-day notice. And I figured Tuesday was the
What's
best.
The issue?
He wants to...
You just applied for a variance.
Yes.
And disagrees with the finding of the planning and zoning board?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And then also in 2 weeks, as it pertains to the calendar, we'll have a public hearing for the planning and zoning proposed ordinance changes.
Correct. We'll get that on. I've already put it on the agenda. I'll get it posted again.
Yeah, as a separate meeting.
Yes.
Not just, yeah, but we'll have it on the agenda noted that we'll recess.
So we'll... That will make it so we have three meetings that day.
Yes.
Are you guys ready for that?
Four.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of counts as commission.
Yeah, I mean, some of those I wouldn't anticipate would take very long.
No.
But it meets the requirement, so I'm fine.
Okay. Sure. Sounds good.
Okay, well, if there's not anything else, I'll adjourn the meeting by acclamation at 12:44, not Courtney's clock of 12:54. So 12:44 is the official time, and we are adjourned. Thank you.